Stacy's head sort of bobbing back and forth. Sorry, Pittsburgh fans.
Sorry, Pittsburgh fans, but it had to be done. You can't lose. Although, we'll talk about the Washington football team later, but you can't lose to them.
You can lose, but you just simply cannot lose at home to Washington. Like, sorry. You can't do that.
You cannot lose to a team that doesn't have a nickname.
You just can't lose to a team that doesn't have a name.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. Week 13 of the NFL, which we're getting closer to week 16 and, you know, all the playoffs that is coming. But, I mean, if you're a fantasy fan, your playoffs are just about to start or are starting very soon. So, on the other side, a lot of these teams that we'll go through, I think, have started to sew up, like, their positions in the playoff picture. The first game on Monday was the Saints beating the Falcons 21-16. The Lions are just beating the Bears 34-30. The Browns beating the Titans 41-35.
Beating the holy hell out of the Titans.
Yeah, flexing there.
The score doesn't do that game justice.
The Dolphins beating the Bengals 19-7. The Vikings are getting over the Jaguars and in OT, 27-24. The Raiders just coming back and beating the Jets 31-28. The Colts, the Frisky Colts, winning over the Texans 26-20. The Rams beating the Cards 38-28.
They are in a crazy slump at the moment, Arizona.
Yes, they are. It's really weird.
They had people believing in them, you know, midway through the season that yes, that they could make a Super Bowl with everything that they're doing, and they've just fallen into a big steamy heap at the moment.
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. The Seahawks going down to the New York Giants 17-12 in one of the worst games I've watched for a long time.
Oh, that was brutal. Brutal.
The Packers are effectively, yeah, again, doing what Packers do well, beating the Eagles 30-16. The Pats, the New England Patriots, demolishing the Chargers 45-0.
Congratulations to the Los Angeles Chargers. You got Belichicked.
That's probably not the way to put it.
And wow.
You
also got beaten by a quarterback who threw for 69 yards.
The Chiefs beating the Broncos 22-16. The Washington football team beating the Pittsburgh Steelers that's their first loss this season, 23-17. The Bills beating the 49ers 34-24. And the Ravens on Wednesday beat the Cowboys 34-17.
There's some games all over the shop. This past week, sort of some chopping and changing with Pitt, especially the Pittsburgh and Baltimore games. Through the COVID issue that they had the week before, so they've had to do some super rescheduling and shuffling around to get the games in.
Yeah, well, that's why there was Thursday night.
Well, that's right. That was the Dallas Baltimore game.
Yeah,
was meant to be our Friday game here, but they had to push it all the way back to Wednesday, which is that's a big shift.
I mean, we don't really need to go through that game. It's pretty much what I expected with that game. Really, at the end of the day, the Cowboys, you know, losing to the losing to the Ravens, who should be playing a lot better. But not that they're out of it. They're 7-5, but they just had that. At least they got that win to end their three-game losing streak.
Yeah, look, I think, Baltimore, they're another one of those teams that sort of need to shake their way out of this little funk that they're in at the moment. Not a very nice offensive game to sort of watch. You know, Lamar Jackson was pretty ordinary in the passing game. Efficient, But yeah, that game was won and lost on the ground there with Baltimore for rushing for nearly 300 yards total in that game. Everybody had a field day except for Mark Ingram. So,
who isn't that interesting? So Mark Ingram was their out and out RB1. You know, yeah, he had Lamar Jackson in there. Technically, you could say he was the RB1, but he's just fallen, hasn't he? Really?
Well, he got hurt midway through the season. I think he missed 3-4 games, and he's come back. And whether or not they're just trying to bring him back slowly, but oh boy, are they bringing him back slowly. Like, he's just getting no carries. You know, he had one target in this game, one reception. He's just getting no, you know, offensive workload at all. So it's whether they're saving him. You know, even J.K. Dobbins is getting more of a workload in the rush game than what Mark Ingram is. So whether or not they're just trying to save him up a little bit for a playoff run, if they can squeak into a wild card game.
Do we, just on the next game, not that I've never lost respect, but do we have to respect what the Bills are doing and how well the Bills are going?
Oh, absolutely we do.
Yeah. Look, yeah, they...
And once again, yeah, okay, it's against the San Francisco team that, you know, they're decimated everywhere. It's wide receiver stocks.
Yeah.
Running back stocks, you know, their offensive line's a bit banged up. Defensively, they've just got holes in it everywhere, and you know, injuries to major key players along that defensive line. But you know, Nick Mullins is doing what he's got to do. You know, for them offensively, and Josh Allen, like he was near perfect in that game, like just. You know, only didn't complete 8 passes. You know, throws for 4 touchdowns, 375 yards. It just, Devin Singletary sort of got a little bit of a workload in this game. They couldn't, I guess both teams couldn't really establish much of a run game in this, but just, that's, I mean, just unbelievable the way that that Josh Allen sort of played this game and you know, Cole Beasley having 9 receptions. You know, Stephon Diggs, who has been just an absolute revelation and one of the pickups of the year, you know, in this sort of free agency sort of market that we had this year, him going to Buffalo. I think that he sort of really helped out.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, you know, in those receiver stocks. You know, they didn't really have that sort of certified number one, and Stephon Diggs is an absolute certified number one wide receiver, and he's making the big plays, and he's giving Josh Allen, you know, somebody he can target and he can go to a lot.
And I just I think Stephon Diggs to me would have had enough cachet. I think he chose the Bills is what I'm getting at. I think he had enough cachet to sort of say where you'd think, not to an extent, he still wants to get paid, but I think he would have had at least a little bit of cachet to say, well, you know, maybe I can get into these teams because they were on the way up last year.
No, that's right. And he's obviously, you know, picked and chosen his spot well. You know, the division is in a little bit of disarray. I guess this could be the first time that the Bills could win the division since 1999.
Yeah.
That they've won the NFC the AFC East. So
I still didn't expect Cole Beasley to do what Cole Beasley did in that game.
No, that's right. But you know him as a Dallas Cowboys fan, and you know that he's a good slot receiver and. He's been around a while now, Cole Beasley. So you know, he just knows where to be. And you know, now that you've got Josh Allen as being a fairly accurate quarterback, guys like that, they're gonna flourish. You know, even the rookie Gabriel Davis, like is looking, you know, well, you know, looking good in this offense as sort of their third. Wide receiver there. Like they don't really have a dominant sort of tight end or anything there. Knox does the job well, but he doesn't get targeted a whole lot. So, yeah. A lot of those go to Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley.
And it's sort of looking, I mean, if I'm sort of scaling back to the 2018 draft, well, I think Baker was number one. Sam Darnold at number three. I'm just looking at the quarterbacks for that were drafted that year. I think they were sort of, if I remember, they got ridiculed a little bit for picking Josh Allen that high. But,
oh, yeah, absolutely they did. Because when he came out of Wyoming, all the talk was, yes, big arm, but wildly inconsistent and wildly inaccurate. But got an absolute rocket of an arm. And now that he's gone from a sort of mid-pack, accurate quarterback, or even on the low end accuracy for a quarterback, he's up there, with as a top 10 accuracy now. I think he's up there over 63-64%. That's what you've just got to be. You've got to be accurate. You've got to not turn the ball over.
Yeah.
And that was his problem, was turning the ball over.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the Bills should win their division pretty comfortably.
I think so. Like the Dolphins, the Dolphins would have to do something pretty miraculous to sort of gain a couple of games on the Bills. But they're playing really well. As of this moment now.
I think they'll get a wild card. I think
they if they keep playing the way that they are, I think they've got Kansas City next week, so that'll be a test for them in Miami. It's in Miami, so that'll be sort of a what they would call a measuring stick type game, if they can sort of that they can pace themselves against the Chiefs. They'll sort of know how well or not well they're going at the moment. So but you would think it would take a miraculous fall from grace for the Bills not to take the division.
So the Washington football team beat the Steelers. That was Ben's first 300-yard game for a long time as well, I noticed. Not that it helped him win, but you go through the stats when I looked at this game, and I just went, it's hard to see why they lost. But it's still very hard to see. Obviously, the kicking came into it clearly, but I think it's because they're in my division, but it's hard to always write off Washington, and they Alex Smith.
This is three on the trot for them now. Like them and the New York Giants. The Giants have won four on the trot, so they're sort of starting to break away from the Eagles and the Cowboys a little bit with those wins in a row there. The big thing is obviously Pittsburgh rushing attack. 14 attempts and only 21 total yards. Like just not being able to establish the run. That doesn't help. James Conner is still out. I think this is his third week out now, so that's not really helping. Big Ben having to throw 53 times as well is not ideal.
No, definitely not. They're having
some real issues with, sort of the dropsies as well. Like their receivers are usually pretty good. But just lately they haven't been great. The hype on Chase Claypool sort of died down a little bit. Yeah. He hasn't been as dynamic as what he's been, in the last month to 6 weeks. Juju Smith-Schuster is just, I guess he's just been lost in the amount of receivers that they sort of have at the moment. Like he'd sort of come out of the shadows of Antonio Brown. The last two seasons, he's just a little bit lost in that offense, I think.
Lost in the shuffle. He wasn't too bad last year, which, again, going back to fantasy, I think a lot of people, picked him, probably not high as D-Hop and, your Michael Thomases of the world, but, I still think he was picked high. But you're right, I think he, with Deontay Johnson there as well, I think he's sort of got lost in the shuffle in terms of who Big Ben sort of throws to. But I mean, I love their defense. Like their defense is unbelievable. With Minka Fitzpatrick at the back. So I was just looking at it. Like it was obviously Washington had to come back and win, And it's just, I mean, clearly the reason they won was from their boot. So.
No, that's right. And they didn't have Boswell in this game, Pittsburgh. So they had a few sort of, I think there was an instance there where they had a four. They went for it on a fourth and one instead of going for a 45-yard field goal and trusting the rookie kickers, Matthew Wright. Brought in off. I guess they sort of brought him up off the practice squad.
Like he's 14.
That's right.
Anyway,
they elected to go for it on fourth and one, bombed it. But they had some curious calls to make at the back end of this game, like, you know, to go for it on that, you know, on that fourth down. It just, you know, if you're not within field goal range, okay, fair enough. But just to go for it, it was an instance in the fourth quarter. I think they might have been backed right up in their own territory.
Yeah.
Like, they had the lead, right? So
yeah.
It was 17-all. So they'd had, it was a game time touchdown. It goes to 17-all. Just they didn't trust in your defense. Punt the ball away.
Yeah.
Bury Washington down in their own territory and trust defensively in your system and your scheme for you to be able to get to make a stop.
Yeah.
Instead, do you know what I mean? Instead of trying to make it, you know, a funky little play on, you know, on fourth and one or fourth and two, I think it was, to, you know, to try and extend the drive a little bit. Just punt the ball away. You know, it's not sexy football at all, but you've got to win. And they weren't looking, you know, Pittsburgh were looking shaky in this game pretty much the whole time. So you just trust in what your defense is doing. Punt the ball away.
It
was just a curious call. That's all. Like,
it was a turnover of downs, wasn't it? And then straight after that, after the field goal, then straight after that, they Big Ben threw an intercept to Bostic, so effectively then shut them out of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, you're right. It is a pretty curious call. I guess they just must have trusted in their offense more. But you're right. Easily a punt would have made so many sense there instead of just getting a turnover on downs.
No, it's a gambling game. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just bury the opposition down in their own half and trust in your defense. Like, your defense hasn't really let you down a lot this year. So just trust in what they're doing. You know, TJ Watt had a monster game. And just trust in, you know, trust in defensively. Big Ben must have been getting worn out, you know, having to throw 53 times.
But then he got it to third and one, and he could have ran the ball, which, so that's, again, I couldn't have worked out why they didn't run the ball at least, you know. But they had an incomplete pass to Juju Smith, and then another incomplete pass, you know, just to get over at least that 1 yard line and then spike the ball.
But they had no rush game. They had no rush game the whole
game. Yeah, well, that's the other disappointing thing with them, is that I don't think they really had a rush game this year, really.
I think they've been sort of mid-pack in the rush game, but a lot of their wins, you know, obviously come off the arm of Big Ben, but you know, defensively they've been super menacing, and that's what sort of that's what's, you know, helping them win games more often than not. And now the win streak is over, so I guess they can sort of not focus on that anymore. And then focus on, I think we might have even said it last week, that they might have been overlooking Washington this week and looking forward to, I think they play Buffalo next week. So I think there might have been, this might have been one of those trap games, and it turned into one.
Yeah, they had one eye ahead. You're exactly right. I think he's going to be gone by the end of the year. This is the coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, but my God, I think you said right at the start, I think you said it exactly how it should have been. It was a Bill Belichick masterclass. It really is. Because of what you said, you know, Newton he threw for 69 total yards. He just knows. It's like he either got in the coach's head or he's got in Justin Herbert's head. Because Justin Herbert got sacked three times.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, that's. I think it's just the fact that Herbert was a little bit inaccurate in that. You know, no passing touchdowns, a couple of interceptions. I think they just really rattled him a lot. You know, their go-to guy, you know, Keenan Allen only had 5 receptions out of 11 targets. So, you know, they're putting the pressure on, you know, on those weapons. You know, they didn't have. Yeah, they had 15 rushing attempts throughout that, whereas you know, New England pretty clearly that they've gone in with a rushing game plan to rush the ball 43 times. Okay, they only rushed for 165 yards, so that's less than 4 yards a carry. You know, Newton rushed the ball 14 times. So they're trying to work guys like Sony Michel and Damian Harris into the game plan. So it's just, yeah. And the thing was, too, like, you know, those the two special teams plays that they made in the second quarter as well, you know, the block punt for a touchdown and then a punt return for a touchdown by, what's the guy's name? Oswalski or whatever. Yeah, who the hell's that guy?
Yeah.
He sort of looks like an imposter, Trevor Lawrence. he just doesn't have as thick a neck as what Trevor Lawrence does. Man, that boy got a thick neck. But the demoralizing two special teams plays. And like I said before, you know, Cam Newton passed for 69 yards. Like
yeah.
it's just
yeah.
that is a demoralizing a loss. As what you have, I really hope it doesn't cost Anthony Lynn his job, because you know, he through no fault of his own, you know, the quarterback situation, what happened, he's had no other option but to throw Justin Herbert in there. They've just had the clutch gene removed from their body. Like that's the only thing. Like they've lost so many one possession games this year. That they win a couple of those and they could be better than 3-9.
Yeah, that's true. I think
that's all it is. It's just the inability to be able to close out a game or to be able to close out a close game.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's getting enough protection. Justin Herbert. I mean,
he's getting more protection than what Joe Burrow was.
Well, that's exactly right. But I think maybe we put too much stock in, well, I did put too much stock into Joey Bosa. And it just, their defense just really hasn't seemed to sort of go anywhere.
No.
So
he's clearly the second best Bosa. In that family defense.
He is a good player, but
when he came out, I think it was 2017, I think he got drafted. He was a top prospect.
Joey Bosa.
I think he was in his second season there. I think he had dealt with a couple of injuries, and he just hasn't looked the same since. And unfortunately too, like another record sort of fell in this game. That's the worst loss, points differential wise in Chargers history. You know, whether it's Los Angeles. That's not terrific either. So, you know it. I guess one of those anomaly type games, where it just happens, And Bill Belichick, that's just one of those instances where he sort of takes away, and that's you know what they all like to say about Belichick is he takes away what you do best or your best thing,
whatever it is
you do best, then he devises a game plan to try and take that away. And in this game, it worked absolutely to a T.
Well, speaking of teams, I guess surprised they won because, I mean, I wasn't surprised that New England won. I was just surprised from the score. But
the score on the road, like to go over to LA and just absolutely demolish the Chargers is just one of those wow games. And this week was full of those wow games.
That's leading to my next one. How the hell did the Giants beat the Seahawks?
Oh, my God.
How did that happen? How did Colt McCoy beat Russell Wilson? Because technically that's happened.
McCoy. Like, yeah, that's a real thing that's happened. Like, you're not, you know, you're hearing that correctly. Colt McCoy. It's unbelievable. It truly is unbelievable. A lot of that was on the back of the Giants' rush game again. Yeah, Seattle defensively this year, they've gotten better over the last couple of weeks, but
yeah, and they kept them out.
They've been better, and it was just a case of their offense sort of letting them down a little bit. Like
Defense wasn't. I just think they couldn't get in the red zone. Like their defense, the offense wasn't sort of too bad. You know, 263 collective receiving yards. So, and he shared the ball around. I just don't think they could get into that red zone, or from the red zone into the to get touchdowns. I don't. Even their rushing game wasn't overly that bad. I just can't work out what actually happened.
I think a lot of it too was the sort of, if you watch bits and pieces of this game, that New York defensively played super aggressive and super physical, and sort of roughed up a lot of the Seattle. Receivers, and yeah, to go out there and sort of rough up the likes of Tyler Lockett and a rough up DK Metcalf, which would be no easy feat at all, to sort of make them look a little bit ordinary. That's a tough thing to do, and once again, to do it on the road, like, that's maybe if they could, you know, squeak that sort of result home in New York, you'd still say, you know, that's one of those wow type games.
But for it to
happen in Seattle. It's an unbelievable result.
I'm not going to encroach on my start of the week, but you're right. I won't name the player, but the defense really won for the New York Giants.
They had the two touchdowns in the third quarter, the Giants.
Yeah.
On the game, sort of, I guess the pivotal drive that Seattle were on. They're obviously trying to pass. Yeah, they're trying to keep the clock stopped. They're passing. They were on a 3rd and 10. Russ gets sacked, and then it goes from 3rd and 10 to 4th and 18. They're within striking distance. Okay, a field goal obviously doesn't help them, but they're within striking distance. The one thing that Russ could not do in that instance, especially on a 3rd and 10, was take a sack. He takes a sack. It's 4th and 18. They've got no other choice but to try and go for it. And it roughs out the game.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah. And the weirdest scoreline I've ever seen at a halftime, 5-0.
That was nil. 5-0.
Yeah. That was weird. It was such a weird scoreline to see. It's just a a field goal,
field goal and a safety.
Safety, yeah. It is pretty rare, isn't it? Really.
That's unbelievable.
But yeah, look, you're right. I mean, the Giants are pretty frisky. I mean, in 5-7, I shouldn't really say that, but if we're looking at the NFC East, in that aspect, they're not doing too bad. 5-7 is not great. I'm not gonna jump up and down. And sing their praises, but 5-7 in the NFC least, or whatever everyone's calling it, because it's terrible.
Well, it's seen. They've won. That's four on the trot now for the Giants.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, you know, no, you're right.
They're starting to put a little bit of a gap. Them and Washington are starting to put a little bit of a gap at the top there, in this division. So we'll just, I guess. It's still tight, and I guess it's still anyone's division to sort of win, because those two teams are sort of, they'll have to put together a loss at some point, or they'll be able to streak away with it if they've got a couple of divisional games towards the end of the season, which they normally do.
Yeah, that's true. The Cardinals, why are they on a slip?
Man, I honestly don't know what has been happening there over the last month. They just look out of sorts. I think Kyler Murray, I think he's still got a little bit of a shoulder injury lingering from a couple of weeks ago from a hard hit that he got I'm just trying to think who it was. It was against. It was a couple of weeks ago when he got smashed, and he sort of come up clutching the shoulder a little bit, and he just hasn't. Especially the last 2 weeks, you know, they've been ordinary to say the least.
They have. Look, the Rams aren't the worst team in the world, really, at the end of the day. But, I mean, and Jared Goff, when he's protected, he can, you know, he threw 37 for 47, 351 yards.
He's one of the best play action passes that there is. You know, they've gone back to the bread and butter of what Jared Goff can and can't do, you know, effectively, and it got him to a Super Bowl a few years ago. And it's statistically proven that. If they've got a good combination of running backs there as well at the Rams, so you have those sort of fake handoffs, and he's got fairly solid receivers there as well. So it just makes it easier for McVay to draw up a game plan for him.
Yeah, well that's true. I think on that, I don't really like Cliff Kingsbury as a play caller. I don't know. I think he gets a bit. I'm not sure. Like, you know, I think they could use D-Hop a lot more. They have, but I think they could use him a lot more, really, at the end of the day.
The only problem is, like, some of the guys that they do have around him, I think, are really sort of low-end wide receivers. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, your Andy Isabellas, Christian Kirk.
Yeah.
You guys like that. What's this guy Dan Arnold? Like, where the hell did he come from? But yeah, they've got. Yeah, so Christian Kirk can make some big plays. Like he's a good receiver.
He can.
But he had little to no work in this game.
Yeah, got shut out. Yeah, big time.
D-Hop was shut down fairly well.
Yeah.
You know, only averaging 6.5 yards per catch.
Yeah.
So it just nothing over 10 yards. So they kept their big play guys in check, which you know the Rams defensively they've got a good front four.
Yeah, for sure.
Even though Aaron Donald statistically didn't have his more menacing games, it's the focus that gets put on him.
It's a presence.
No, that's right, exactly. So you have to watch out for number 99, because if you don't, he will come through and he will eat you and he will spit your bones out.
Well, it's true. That's exactly right. I think
That's just what he does. The game sort of floundered a little bit in the first half. There was a big stop by the Rams in the red zone. You know, while Arizona are on the attack, like right before halftime, and it's seven all, and it was a massive call by, like you said, by Kingsbury to go for it on 4th and 1. They were in the red zone, and the Rams stopped them, and yeah, that sort of was pivotal, because the Rams later on in the quarter get a touchdown, they go in to halftime 14-7 up. I think that sort of spurred them along then in the second half.
Yeah, I think so. Where are they sitting at the moment? I think they are
atop their division, so they will get a home game at this point in time if the playoffs started now.
Yeah, okay. They should make it. I don't know if you mentioned it before, but Cam Akers. He got a touchdown at 72 yards, but he's slowly coming into why they sort of, why they got rid of Todd Gurley effectively and picked this guy in the second round. He seems all right. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's hard to sort of judge how we're going this season. I mean,
he's gradually getting an increase in work. So yeah. I guess they're sort of putting a little bit more trust in him.
I think
to sort of take on a heavier workload.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the Rams, because of Aaron Donald. I think I just their defense and Jalen Ramsey. That you know their defense should be able to win them games. Really, at the end of the day.
No, that's right. And the other thing was too. Just before we sort of move on, like Arizona only had 21 minutes time of possession, so for them to rack up 28 points,
yeah,
that's admirable. But yeah. to have the ball kept away from them for so long, it just makes it near impossible to win against a fairly solid LA Rams team.
Yeah. The only other game I wanted to touch on was the Detroit Lions winning their, I guess, their first game under the interim coach, Daryl Bevel. Yes, it's over the Bears. You know, they're both 5-7, but Stafford threw three nice touchdowns. He threw three nice touchdowns. I'm sorry, he did, because it was two rushing. I can't believe Peterson got two rushing touchdowns.
Well, Adrian Peterson was a beast in that game, man. He was physical. Like, it's just, man, he just must be one tough SOB. Like, him and Frank Gore, like, at that sort of, Frank Gore's probably got a few extra years on Adrian Peterson, but to still take that abuse and take that beating as a physical running back the way that they are, it's amazing the way that he just keeps pumping it out. And he was their only rushing threat, really, for the Lions.
Yeah, I think so. Look, he was the only rushing threat, but I mean, I think he's 30 years old. Yeah, he is. Marvin Jones Jr. He gets lost. Like, I forgot how good he was, but I think, I don't know, he sort of got lost in that sort of mix there, because they've got a great defense. They have a very, very good defense. And that's like a lot of the reasons why they're staying in these games, but I really forgot how good he was. Marvin Jones.
Yeah, no, that's right. Well, he's another guy. He's got the Juju Smith-Schuster syndrome. Like, he just looks like he gets lost in the offense. And you see by this game what he can produce. But you know, they've got guys like Hockenson there. Danny Amendola, who they brought across a couple of years ago. I think they've got Mohamed Sanu there. They've got they picked up Jesse James at tight end. Like, he's a big physical tight end. They picked up from Pittsburgh last year. So, it's a matter of can Stafford thread the ball to him? Like, that's why it sort of sucks, like, that where he is at the moment, where he is in his career, can the Lions help him out? Can they help him out? Get him a number one receiver? Like, in the last class. Okay, they had the top. Well, they had the third pick, and they picked that Jeffrey Acuna. Yeah, it's the best. He's the best guy that was available in the draft. But you've got to help Stafford out.
Give him
a nice safety. You know, not so much a safety blanket. Give him somebody who can make some dynamic plays, please.
Or he moves to a side that, you know, where he could have offensive weapons. Cough, cough, who you want to move to the Saints, but I don't really want to touch too much on the Chicago Bears, because you said this at the start of the year, and I went, oh, okay, you know, I sort of shrugged it off, but you're right. I mean, they were on a high, and then they did that typical Chicago Bears slide. They're now 5-7, so.
That's right. Well, how many have they lost on the trot now? Like, 4?
Yeah, they have.
I just don't think it was anybody was sort of believing in what a whole lot of what the Chicago Bears were doing. They're not so much they're not playing to their strengths. Like, you know, their strengths over the last couple of years since they acquired Khalil Mack was to sort of, you know, do it defensively and give the offense short fields so they didn't have to do a whole lot. And then, you know, obviously Trubisky had a short leash at the start of the year. You know, they went to Nick Foles. Nick Foles isn't the most mobile quarterback in the world.
No.
He wasn't even putting up the great – even, you know, in the early rounds, like, Trubisky wasn't putting up terrible numbers. They were just squeaking by enough. And then it only took a couple of poor performances from Trubisky, and he got yanked straight away. But he's come back, you know, he's – He looks the same. I don't think there's been any improvement on any play. Another guy that just – can you please get him something to throw to and maybe he'll look a bit better? Can you get him some protection in the pocket? Maybe he'll look a bit better. But at this point in time, it's it's a failed experiment for what they did to move up. What did they move up? One spot?
Yeah, they did.
To pick him at number two, and they threw away how many draft picks to get him. Yeah. It is a major failed experiment, especially when two quarterbacks that went after him were Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but that's hindsight. Like,
that is,
I mean,
just an all-time gaffe.
I get that, but that's also hindsight. Like, you know, he was.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
he was highly touted.
I don't even think he was that highly touted when he came out of North Carolina. Was it North Carolina?
I thought he was. I thought he was highly. I can't remember.
He had one starting season, and he looked okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I can't remember if it was at Duke or at North Carolina. I think it was at North Carolina.
North Carolina.
He had the one starting season. That was it.
In his
junior year, in his third year. So, he only had, 12, 13 games under his belt, 12, 13 starts under his belt. And that's it. The numbers just didn't light the world on fire, but they obviously know that the management
Of everything I read, and then I went back and looked at this draft, it's who they should have taken by the looks of it was Deshaun Watson. They could sort of, they didn't rate Patrick Mahomes highly.
Deshaun Watson had just won a national championship.
Yeah, that's right. And when he got picked, that's who they all thought he was going to. That's where they thought, before he got picked, they all thought Deshaun was going to go to Chicago. Why they moved
He made a national championship game the year before Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And then he won a national championship. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's the one that's where he should have went, which would have been very interesting to see. imagine seeing that. I mean, there's a lot of hindsight. You love a quarterback. Just imagine seeing Deshaun at Chicago. Wow. Although, having Robinson there, that might actually be a little bit.
He'd be throwing to the likes of these guys and not throwing to the likes of DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That was all the games I wanted to touch on. Is there anything else you want to touch on?
I thought the Saints game, I guess there's not really sort of much, a whole lot to sort of talk about. Taysom Hill sort of looked like he was getting a little bit sort of more comfortable playing quarterback. But they nearly let this game go at the end. Like they probably should have put a little bit more points on Atlanta. Just ridiculous penalties that the Saints were giving away. Gardner Johnson, man, he's a niggly, he's a pest. He's a serial pest by the looks of it. And sometimes on your team that can be good and that can be detrimental. I think in this game it was nearly detrimental because he got under a lot of receiver skin in this game and nearly come to blows. I think it was with Calvin Ridley. And it was just it's just a little bit of a niggly type game, that's like I said, New Orleans should have been a little bit better in this game. It played into Atlanta's hands because New Orleans probably want to run the ball a little bit more. They've actually got a really good rush defense. It's like sixth in the league, but their passing defense is second last. So they're almost making Sean Payton have the game plan of we're going to go in and we're going to have to throw the ball. So we're going to have to rely on Taysom Hill's arm. Sort of worked, sort of didn't. Look good in the first half, even the first three quarters. But New Orleans' last five possessions was punt, 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 fumble, punt. They nearly gave this game away and they were a Hail Mary away by Matt Ryan from losing this game.
That's true.
And it just
That's exactly true. That's true. I really thought Jameis Winston was actually going to play some games. So the same thing happened with Teddy. I think probably because Teddy Bridgewater, your boy Drew Brees got injured, and then Teddy Bridgewater stepped in real admirably, actually. But I thought that the same thing would happen with Jameis Winston. But I don't know. I'm not the biggest. I like Taysom Hill as a running back, probably a slot receiver. But I don't know. I don't like him as a quarterback because I don't think he throws accurate enough, personally.
I think it's a matter of, yes, he knows the offense. I think it's a matter of whether he's got the confidence in himself to be able to do, to be able to go out there and to make the big plays, to have, you know, to go out there and be, you know, Inspector Gadget and do little bits here, be, you know, be a tight end, you know, be that rushing threat, you know, play on special teams, to do all that sort of stuff, but to go out there and have the pressure of, yes, I am the starting quarterback here. This is what I am for this, yeah, for this point in time until Drew Brees comes back, which we don't know when the hell that's going to be. He's probably still another couple of weeks away. So I think until maybe they have a loss or Taysom Hill just has an absolute stinker, they're going to keep riding with him.
I think so. I mean, look, a win's a win. Who really cares at the end of the day? And I think I'm more dirty because, you know, purely, I mean, he got a touchdown, got 88 yards, but, you know, Kamara got so used so much when Drew Brees there, and now he's taken, look, a win's a win, but he's sort of taken a little bit of a step back.
Yeah, no, he has. This is probably Kamara's best game with Taysom Hill in the lineup. Yeah,
exactly.
So, and that's the thing. It's developing the trust. It's all well and good to know the offense and everything like that, but when you're under center every single snap, then it just creates that different narrative and that different type of pressure in game. Like if he comes in for one play here, one play there, yeah, he's only under center for one play, two plays. It's the fact of that he's the guy, he's the go-to guy now, so, and the pressure's on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Any other games?
Look, I thought the Cleveland Tennessee game, even though it was just an absolute, you know, demolition at the start, 38-7 at halftime. Just man, how much did everything go right for Cleveland in that game, especially in the first half? Like unbelievable. Baker Mayfield looked like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's probably a really good point.
That's one of the best games, if not the best game that I've seen. You know, for Baker Mayfield like that.
Yeah, I think it was one of the best ones.
Everything was working perfectly.
Yeah. And what they're showing is they can actually, and I think this is just a testament to their coach. That they're showing they, you know, you don't have to just rely on Odell Beckham Jr. because he's obviously been out injured the whole year. So
no, that's right. But they can share the ball around too. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, Rashad Higgins has started to come into the offensive plan a little bit more in recent weeks. You can't go past Jarvis Landry. Like Jarvis Landry is, you know, he's arguably a top 10 receiver in the league. Like he doesn't get the sort of work that he should be getting because they're a run heavy offense.
Yeah.
And being the destruction that it was to start this game, and the Tennessee just basically had to abandon the run game, and that's their strength, is to put it on Derek's shoulders and to let it go from there. But you know, this game, it come down to what Ryan Tannehill could do. Yeah. And look, they did unbelievably well to come back and make this a one possession game.
Yeah.
Yeah, inside the fourth quarter, they scored two touchdowns in 55 seconds.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, it's a testament to what they did to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mayfield. Derrick Henry had seven attempts at rush, 15 yards in the first half.
Yeah.
And then they just had to completely abandon the run game. They tried to get him back in there to give them a little bit of momentum.
Yeah.
But he's just not a passing threat at all. They had to put it on. Yeah, Corey Davis was unbelievable.
182,
That's a mean. But yeah, they had to go back to getting guys like Corey Davis and AJ Brown into this game. And yeah, the second half ended up being 28-3 to Tennessee.
Yeah. So, but all, like you said, all the damage was done at the first half. But
no, that's right.
Miles Garrett just came back to that game. I think he's starting to sneakily have that same effect on teams that Aaron Donald has. Because, you know, he did sack Tannehill only once. But, he really is that menacing sort of player, Miles Garrett.
Well, he's a brilliant little player. Yeah, he was on the COVID list for a couple of weeks, though.
Yeah, he was. This is his first game back.
Him to come back and to sort of... And that's their linchpin defensively as well.
He's already got 10.5 sacks this year.
So yeah, that's right.
So he's tied for third in the sacks. So, and that's for two games out. So they look 9-3. I don't think anyone thought the Browns would be 9-3, but I mean they've always had that potential last year. But they'll gonna be weird to see, but they will be a playoff team.
The AFC North is almost going to be like the NFC West. They could possibly have three teams from that division make the playoffs.
I really think so.
Yeah, I think it's a huge possibility. Like you said, you know, Baltimore need to sort of, you know, shake off the little bit of funk that they're in at the moment. I'm pretty sure Baltimore in a couple of weeks play the Browns, so that'll be sort of one of those swing games. It's the interdivisional games that will sort of sort that division out as it comes to the end of the season. But obviously you can't expect that type of game from Baker Mayfield every week.
No.
You want to hope that when they go into their game next week, that they sort of they're not feeling themselves a little bit too much. Do you know what I mean? I think Baker's probably he's got that little bit of an ego. And I think once that, the results start to come and he's feeling good about himself, then you want to hope that it continues for him. But there's the real possibility that they could sort of be knocked down a peg or two once they come up against the good competition. This was a good game for them because Tennessee's not a bad team. Usually when they've come up against comparable teams or teams that are better than them, They just get blown out of the water.
Yeah, this is a team that they just won, but this is a team they had to win against. You're right, I guess, to be legitimate, I guess, in the playoffs. So do you want to move on to studs and duds of the week?
I guess so. I think just before we sort of move on a little bit, the New York Jets losing in only a way that the New York Jets could. Pretty much the day after the Jets fired their defensive coordinator, Greg Williams. Shout out to a little bit of a bounty gate with Greg Williams. He was the defensive coordinator at the Saints when they went through all of their BS with the bounty gate and the putting of money on destroying players. So. How he still had a job or how he could still get a job after that, I don't know. But anyway, it was basically his play call. You know, he called out an all-out blitz and a cover zero on that play and some good old-fashioned speed by Henry Ruggs gets him behind the defender. Yeah. They're calling it a Hail Mary. I don't really call that a Hail Mary. Like a Hail Mary is where there's like the end zone is just full of people.
Yeah,
and it's a crapshoot whether or not somebody from the offense is going to catch it. This was good old fashioned speed. He got behind the defender, caught the ball in the end zone, and the Jets lose in a way that only the Jets could lose.
5 seconds to go. So,
no, that's right. Time was ticking out. So that all out blitz and a cover zero call cost him his job, and it was really funny to sort of watch the press conference afterwards and Adam Gase sort of saying, I wasn't really paying attention towards the end of that game. I wasn't sure what the play call was defensively. It's like, what do you mean you're not paying attention? Like, what the hell is he doing then? What is he staring at an empty stand? Like, there's no fans anywhere. Like, what the hell is he doing?
That's a kind of a call that you know basically your job's up. So
he cannot survive this year.
No, there's no way.
He cannot survive this year.
No way. Not an 0-12. You're not going to give a potentially generational quarterback to a guy that doesn't look at the last play. They could have kept one of them in the game. He probably didn't want to look because he probably wants
They hide him at the Dolphins. He was terrible at the Dolphins. He ran Tannehill out of town. Yeah. Have a look what Tannehill's doing now.
Yeah.
Now he's at the Jets. He's genuinely got. I think Sam Darnold is a good quarterback.
They've got
anyone to throw to. No offensive protection for him, and Sam Darnold looks like hot garbage.
Yeah. Even last year, I thought he was because he had Robbie Anderson there, and they were both pretty good in tandem. So.
It's unbelievable. Like he simply cannot survive this year. He can't.
Because I'm sort of tying into that game, who was your start of the week?
Well, look, I guess sort of take your pick, I suppose. I couldn't really decide whether you want to make it Josh Allen or Baker Mayfield. I thought they were both unbelievable this week. You know, they were both, I guess, sort of near perfect. I thought, the Josh Allen was ridiculous.
Yeah.
In that game. I guess sort of on Monday night for Buffalo against San Francisco. So look, and it's real funny too that this is the first win for the Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football since 1999. Like an official ESPN Monday Night Football game, a sort of listening to bits and pieces of what they were talking about. They have beaten the Jets in 2014, but that was after there was I think there was a snowstorm in Buffalo, and they moved the game from Buffalo to Detroit of all places.
And
then they played that on a Monday afternoon / Monday night. So they did beat the Jets on a Monday night in 2014, but an official ESPN Monday night, have not won a Monday night game since they beat the Miami Dolphins in 1999. So the Bills are setting all sorts of records.
For what they are doing
this year. It's amazing.
I guess I'd throw out a special mention to Darren Waller. Getting for a tight end, getting 200 yards.
He's a gigantic man, and he was massive.
Yeah, and he's a lot of drafts. I think a lot of people picked him up sort of late, but he is a very, very. He snuck into the top 100 last year. This NFL 100 this year at number 100. But he's been so consistent this year, considering what they have in there.
With the player Derek Carr as well. Don't underestimate how good Derek Carr is.
I don't know. I think this is Derek Carr's best season in years. No, exactly. I thought Mariota would go there, and I thought Mariota would be playing by now. Derek Carr has one of his best seasons this year in years.
They're inconsistent. Like, when they're good, they're good. Have a look at the teams that they've beaten this year, in the two top teams in the league at the moment. They've beaten the Saints, and they've beaten the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So, when they're on their game, they're really good, but they've got some really poor losses on their resume, and I think the difference between them being good and the difference between them being bad is that discrepancy. It's too big. It's too wide. They need to shorten that up.
Yeah, well, they'll probably...
For God's sake, they got beat by the Jets.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. Not beaten by the Jets. They got beaten by...
They should have been beaten by the Jets.
They should have been beaten by the Jets.
Absolutely should have been beaten by the Jets.
Like you said, if they should be, and then they're probably going to make it now, but they should be in that wild card playoff spot. But I don't think that's going to happen now, like you sort of said about the AFC North. So, I suppose they're tied at the moment with Baltimore Ravens, but... the Miami Dolphins.
That division is going to be the one that could possibly knock them out.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's possible. And the Colts, I always call it frisky Colts because you don't know what Philip Rivers is going to do. They're 9-4.
Hey, look, man, if Rivers is not turning the ball over, they're getting better. They're actually quite good offensively at the moment. They're one of the better offensive teams, over the last month or so.
Yeah.
If Philip Rivers isn't turning the ball over, they've got a good young receiving core, and obviously T.Y. Hilton's there as well. They've got a couple of good running backs there. I think that they could be not so much a smoky, but I definitely wouldn't want to run into them in the playoffs and, you know, and sort of be a little complacent, because I think they could definitely spring an upset if they make it into the playoffs. If they win the division, it'll be between them and Tennessee. So yeah. If they can win the division and host a, you know, host a playoff game, then I would not like to be going into Indianapolis, and even going on the road, I would not like to be running into the Colts in the playoffs at all.
No, that's a good point. I mean, yeah, I still, it depends. Yeah, you know, that's a good, it's a fair point. They could end up being what Tennessee did last year and just sort of, you know, sneak in and then sort of come out of sort of nowhere. But
that's right.
Who do you have as your dud of the week?
As a collective, unfortunately, the LA Chargers.
Yeah.
We said it before. You got Belichicked, and you got beaten by a quarterback who threw for 69 yards.
Yeah. It's
That's as bad a loss. And could you imagine if there was fans there? Good God, the Boo Birds would have been out.
Oh, big time. No, yeah, that's exactly right. I don't know. Untimely for Tyrod Taylor to get that weird injury, that punctured lung injury, or stab a needle into the lung injury, but...
No, man, conspiracy theory.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Yeah, maybe he pushed it in further. Who knows? But, I mean, what I'm getting at is, you know, Justin Herbert, to me, he's going to need some help, because he looks like he's one of those quarterbacks you can actually get behind. And so did Sam Darnold to a little bit, but I think he's got a lot more weapons he can use. You've got Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler there for starters.
That's right. Mike Williams, who's one of the best deep threat receivers in the league. Like I think he's got plenty of help. I think it's just the rookie jitters. Like I think that's all it is.
Fair.
Like, he gets a little bit more consistent, fair. a little bit more accurate.
Yeah.
This season, like you don't see a lot of rookies, especially if they're thrust into the starting job early on in the season. You generally don't see a lot of success with them, even if they're on a borderline type team, which the Chargers are. Like they were last year. What did he get picked up fifth? So they were high in the draft for a reason. The Chargers. So they could be getting another decent. Could be top 15 draft pick again this year. So it'd be interesting to see what they do in the draft next year on how to sort of help out. That's what you've got to do.
They've got to
help out. Whether they help out in the O-line or whether they go all out and try and shore up defensively.
I don't know. I think they're not too bad defensively. I'm just saying... Oh, no, it's possible. Yeah, so maybe if you're looking for a cornerback. But didn't they get that decent – maybe he's just probably a little bit too old. Didn't they get that decent cornerback from Denver Broncos? I thought they picked up a decent cornerback, from the Broncos. I'm very certain they did.
I'm on it.
Yeah, all right, I'll keep talking. But I think they've got a decent team. I really do. I think they've got, I wouldn't say enough weapons, but I think they've got weapons to sort of go in the right direction. I don't know. I don't know what they need. I don't even know if this coach is going to survive this year, to be completely honest.
I'd hate to see, you'd hate to see them get rid of Anthony Lynn. I think it's just the clutch gene at the moment. Like it's whether or not the NFL moves so much faster than what college football does. So it's the adjustment period. And like I said, like it's very rare that a rookie quarterback will come in and have an uber successful rookie season, especially a high draft pick, because generally if they're a high draft pick, they're on a bad team.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, no, that's a fair point. No, it was Chris Harris Jr. He came from the Denver Broncos. So I don't know. I think really, if I'm looking at it just quickly here, they really need to shore up the just protection, like get a right or a left sort of tackle. Not sure.
Yeah, I think if you sort of, you'd have to sort of look their roster up and down a little bit more.
Yeah, probably a little bit more, but Yeah, probably a little bit more, because I think offensively he got enough weapons, to be completely honest. I mean, you know, Hunter Henry, he probably could use to be a little bit more as well. So they've got Melvin Ingram. They're defensive. You know, the defensive ends have been, well, Joey's been out, but they've got, it's been pretty poor this year, so.
Yeah, look, defensively, they've leaked a lot of points. So, yeah, it's not terrific.
Yeah, no, I'll take that as a dart of the week. I mean, 45 zip, you can't not take it, really, can you? So, really.
No, well, that's right. I think that's it's pretty clear cut, I think.
Well, that'll do it for the NFL Week 13. We're obviously probably recording this a little bit after than what everyone is used to, so we'll have NFL Week 14 up pretty quickly after this one. You'll be able to see it on our socials. It's just Twitter at Final Play Pod and Facebook Final Play Podcast. Give us a like, give us a share. I think it's slowly still climbing. I keep checking every so often, so I think we're up to 115 likes.
And yeah, share us about if you've got some, some celebrity friends out there, share it to them and make sure you let them know that this is a really awesome and informative podcast.
if they work for Sportsbet, all the better.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if they're in the sports gambling agencies or football players or anything like that, get us in.
Also, as always, you can get our podcast as well on gimco.com.au.
Yeah, magical stuff what they do for us. So give them a check out for us. They do good business. It's they always help out us, so we always appreciate the help that they give us.
Definitely, because they don't have to, I mean, briefly, mates aside, they don't really have to put it up on their website. The website's a whole different ballgame to being just a mate. So, it's hugely appreciated, which is what I'm getting at.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to use his name then for me, but I'll...
Oh, don't do it. Don't do it.
Why? Have you told him?
Don't do it. He's going to come for you. He's going to come for you. Him and his dog.
Okay. Well, you go first. I can't think of anything now. Because I had that lined up, and now it's Gornskis. Oh. I don't want a dog coming after me.
Funny thing, I don't know if you watched any of the Kansas City-Denver game at all this week either. Did you see the Tyreek Hill catch?
Oh.
That wasn't a catch that he dropped but then picked up in the end zone?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And he gets to the sideline. He's like, oh, I didn't even realize I caught it.
We're not writing out the Kansas City Chiefs, but I think now that this loss has gone for the Steelers, I think we haven't talked about that they're 11-1 as well. And they're probably favorites. So
I think it's the fact of who you trust more. Who do you trust more? Kansas City or Pittsburgh?
For me, it's I don't see anybody beating Kansas City, and that's also Pittsburgh. I just don't see it.
Pittsburgh are giving them a good run for their money, but I think it's the fact that they can hang points on everybody.
They can
score. It doesn't matter if they're a top defense or not. Like even if they have a mediocre or poor game, like they did in this, like they were in a funk in the first half. They were very sloppy in the first half. And the only reason they sort of come back in this game really was Drew Lock being Drew Lock.
Yeah. Oh, then they sort of ran away with it. But that's fair, but I just don't see anyone beating them at all. I think there's too many. I mean the plays are perfect. They score on will and quickly. So
that's right. You've got one of the fastest wide receivers getting around. One of the best tight ends that's getting around. They're good on special teams. Defensively, they're as solid as you can get. Yeah. So they're there in all facets of the game. And when you've got somebody like Mahomes, it just makes it near impossible. They have to be, I guess, sort of mediocre to poor. And even then, you have to still play the game of your life to beat them.
Yeah.
Just ask the Houston Texans.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's actually a really good point because they played their game of their life and they still got beaten. Yeah, that's actually really good.
Half of their life. That's, I mean, you've got to put it, you've got to put it together.
Okay, that's fair.
Together for 60 minutes.
God, no, no one. I didn't see that coming, but I mean, that's a whole different topic for. But I'll change it to, well, you know, my name's Jason Cheetah Smith because it's unbelievable how fast that guy is. It always amazes me. Always.
He's a good route runner, and he can just scorch you you can't coach good old fashioned speed.
You can't coach speed.
You can't coach it.
No, you can't.
It's unbelievable how. And they, you know, then they lost Kareem Hunt as well, and they just reload with Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the draft, and they're not even using Le'Veon Bell that much.
No, so they aren't.
They've just got an embarrassment of riches everywhere.
Yeah.
Everyone's just lining up to take less money to go play for the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, that's all it is.
No, good
that's
point.
Right. If Kansas City is in the market for anybody, that's right. They'll be like, pay me whatever the hell you want. I'll come play.
Yeah, good point. But they got themselves to that point. You're right. But they had pretty much their core there already before people started doing it, is what I'm getting at, really. So they drafted well. They drafted so well.
No, that's right. And that's the thing. Not so much getting lucky with the draft, but it's just some of the players that they got just fall into their lap. It really is.
All right, you signing off?
Please don't destroy Trevor Lawrence, New York Jets plan.
Okay, do you really fathom, I can't see it, but do you really fathom Trevor Lawrence doing a Peyton Manning?
Absolutely.
Really? Do you really think
Eli Manning.
An Eli Manning, sorry.
If Adam Gase is still a coach, I wouldn't go there.
That's a fair point.
You surely,
they'll do the interviews and that. Yeah, that's a fair point, but they'll do the interviews and that, but he'd have to pose a question: is Adam Gase gonna, unless he's gone by before they even?
I would think less than 24 hours after the season ends in 4 weeks or 5 weeks, that he will get the axe.
He should, shouldn't he? Really, at the end of the day.
He's got to.
Yeah, he should. He'd have to, surely.
He's got to.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right.
All I can do is shake my head. Like, it's just, I didn't sort of see a whole lot of, I think it was the 08 Detroit Lions that went 0-16. I didn't sort of see a whole lot of that.
Yeah.
But this is, they just haven't set this team up for success. Like, it's all well and good. They go out there and they try their hardest. They just haven't set this team up for success at all. And it's ruining what a promising career that Sam Darnold could have. It could take him a couple of years to shake this reputation that he's a bad quarterback.
Which I don't think he is.
No. Have a look at what Arizona did to Josh Rosen.
They threw him
to the Wolves. Josh Rosen looked awful at Arizona.
Yeah.
They got a second round pick back, took him to Miami. Miami didn't look, and once again, that's in a system there that had It's Josh Rosen didn't look terrific either, but you put good quarterbacks in. They've got to find the right system.
Yeah.
And you get in it, and it's unfortunate that a lot of quarterbacks that are coming out now are system quarterbacks.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah, it is. I was just looking at who they're going to play left. They got the Rams away. They got the Browns at home, and then they got the final games of Pats.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Unless some sort of miracle happens, that they'll be 0-16.
Yeah, the only game that I could see them effectively winning would be that Pats one. But I mean, I don't see it happening. I'm just throwing that out there. That'd be the only one I could effectively see.
Possibly.
All right, have a good week, everyone. Talk to you soon.
Yeah.